Well, hello there. This is Jim Horan, the Keys Bartender podcast. If you're not familiar with it, it's a podcast about bartending life and Keys life. I could say in life here in the Keys, but life is pretty much the same everywhere. If you think about all the things you have to go through, excuse me there. I wanted to first start out by thanking one of our listeners stopping in, Brad. He has a summer home in, well, summer home. I guess that's a vacation home down here, where he vacations down here in the Keys, and he lives up north in North Carolina the rest of the year. I think I may have heard that wrong, but I was paying attention to Brad. Brad stopped in. We had a nice conversation, stopping with two of his friends. And I had a nice visit with him at my place of work. It was nice that he, well, I guess if you are a listener, you know where I work now, that I work at the Almirada Brewery and Distillery in Almirada. And if you were going to go by location, it's at mile marker, I think it's 82.9, 82290. So it's around the 82 mile mark in the Keys, if you consider I live up in the hundreds and you go all the way down to zero, that's where the Keys end in Key West. That's mile marker zero. I always tell people don't drive past mile marker zero unless you have one of those submarine cars ahead in James Bond. It's probably an older James Bond. So, and since most of my listeners are out of their teens, they may remember that. So that was really nice getting a visit. And it was, Brad was one of these people that brought to my attention that my oft-used phrases, and I don't even want to use it because I'm afraid I'll fall back into it because I still say it. I say stuff like that. And I'm trying to consciously not say that. And I know while I'm consciously not saying it, I may be picking up other habits. But I think it's great. I think it's really great, not just to be giving constructive criticism, to attempt to change our patterns. And a lot of time a pattern change could be an improvement. If you could tell by the voluminous amount of episodes that I have, that I'm not really a big joke teller. I'm more of a situational person. Like when the situation arises, I like to make a comment about it. And things like that. And not necessarily all puns. I do puns, but puns are considered the lowest form of humor. A pun done well and on spur of the moment is a beautiful thing. But to turn this conversation into something about bartending, actually, this is probably going to be one of the more general conversations that can happen in a workplace. And it is being able to handle the oft-used negative connotation word of criticism. To critique something, a critic can give praises to someone, and they can also pan, give a negative review. So there's positive reviews and negative reviews. But a critique is an accurate assessment of what you're doing. And to be able to do that at work, it's really tough. Some people have they feel it is a direct attack on their ego when they're told that some action or some behavior is counterindicative to a successful operation of your business. So as a bartender, somebody could come up to me and say, "Hey, Jim, you're a real wise ass." And that's my thing. I am a wise ass. I do make up a lot of stories and things like that. There we go. I did it again. And things like that. I shouldn't have said that. But being told and having it brought to my attention, I'm able to think about it and be more considerate of that action of, or that behavior. And realize sometimes I have to just sit on my words and listen. And ask probing questions while I'm at work. Like, where are you from? Do you live here? Are you on vacation? Most of people are on vacation when they come in here. And I had this, I have some canned responses. Some canned responses. I try to not, you know, make them as new as possible and original every time I use it. So when I ask people, where are you from? And I kind of post that and say, listen, don't worry about it, because most of the people down here that live and work down here are for someplace else. Especially the people work in the service industry. And I say, listen, you're going to be, it's not like a small, it's similar to a small town, is that our population isn't large. But unlike a small town, we have a lot of people that cycle through here. So they're from every place else. And I try to build a camaraderie with the people down here, saying, oh, yes, you're visiting from someplace else. Well, I'm from someplace else too. I'm from way out there. I am way, way, way out. No. But so that I think that's something I might do well. There's probably a way for me to hone that in. But I've been told many a times, and this is the criticism that some people may be reflexive. They may cringe back from. And I've only noticed it, I only noticed it about 15 years ago. What I'm saying, it's not recent, but when I get super busy and I start rocking along taking care of people, I get really short with people. I just want a little information from them. I want quick responses. When there's like 20 people, if there's 20 people or more at the bar, I like to get really short communications. I don't handle too many niceties. I don't go, so hello, how's your day? How are you doing? I try to handle the group as a group by giving more, hello, hello, you ready to order? Are you ready to order? Are you ready to order? Are you ready to order? Yeah, that's my thing. I have this preconceived notion, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, that everyone wants to be served there initially. Now, the place I'm working in now, we offer samples, tastings, and you know, they have a lot of probing questions about what are our beers like, what are the draft cocktails like, can you give me a suggestion? And a lot of times when it gets really busy, I'll just say, hey, let me give you a bunch of samples and you can do a tasting off to the side while I take care of these people that would like to order something. And it is short and it's abrupt. But I'm hopefully, I'm always hopeful that people will see that I'm busy and my abruptness is not a... it's not my personality. It's my want to serve everyone. But yeah, I can improve that. I can really improve that. I've seen people do that. But I do see that if I did take the time and it was real sweet and say, where are you from? How are you doing? And there's 20 people behind you and they're not experiencing the same thing, the people that I'm talking to at the time, being welcoming. So sometimes according to the situation, and it's hard to describe, you have to really be a good assessor of a situation. In this particular criticism, I realize, yes, I get a short, I get abrupt, I seem hasty. Hasty, that's a great word, isn't it? Being hasty. So I'm talking about myself, but I'm talking about how I react to the criticism. And I never liked that criticism. And when I got super busy, I got abrupt, feeling a little stern, not smiling. My energies go someplace else. My energies go into the task at hand. making drinks, making sure the next customer. And I go almost like an automaton. And people try to soften that. And that's where it's great, where I have other people that, you know, there's other people that if they need their hand holding, that's where I'd like to have another coworker come in there and do it. And I can handle volume. You know, you be the nice person and do all those things, and I'll just crank out production. And it's not a judgment on that coworker. I'm just saying this is what I don't like lines. I don't like them when the lines form. And that's just one of my things. It's something I have to work on. Another thing is that I live in my head when I'm working. I get kind of, when I'm working hard, I may perceive other people as not working as hard as I am. And that's my problem, not their problem. Because they're doing a job they're supposed to be doing. They're doing a job they think they're supposed to be doing. And I'm focusing on something else. So I have to get away from that too, because I really enjoy working hard. I do like working hard. I should not begrudge it. I really enjoy feeling the work when I'm doing it. Lifting things, moving things, making drinks, talking to lots of people. When I'm in customer service row, in my customer service role, I like to do that. So anytime I hear something, and I make it about me so I don't have to talk about other people, when I hear a criticism, I view it as an opportunity to change. An opportunity. It doesn't mean I will change. I can evaluate things. I can think about, is this a real criticism? Is this a unique situation? Did I have a tough day the night before? You know, did I have a tough night? Did I not sleep well? Do I have enough energy? Like today, I may have not slept well last night. May or may not have. I think I slept around 5 hours, and I took two more naps, and then I started taking care of business, getting ready for work. I'm going to go to the gym and go. I wasn't very productive today because I didn't sleep straight through. That's an issue for me. But I know I have to be rested because I can't go in. And I've heard this from people. I get a little gruff when I'm tired. I don't want to be that. And sometimes I'm a little too forthright with people. When someone asks me a question, some people ask questions about themselves and they're not asking for you to reaffirm the suspicion they have about themselves. If they don't feel good about one particular thing, do you think I'm putting on weight? Do you think I'm not getting enough rest? Do you think I'm not particularly good at my job? Do you think I'm not ambitious enough? Now, if you went and confirmed that and said, well, it does look like you're putting on weight, but you know, that could be just a temporary thing. Or you're a little gruff. Well, you may not slept well last night. But you're not particularly good at your job. Well, you're just learning. You're learning as you go. I'm learning as I go. That's not the way you necessarily have to handle it. You go, listen, you can handle these criticisms differently. And a criticism isn't necessarily something offered. It could be something asked for by the person. They could ask someone, what do you think of me doing this? What do you think that? That's the part I'm talking about. And you can go and say, oh, well, with the weight issue, and goes, you know, we always feel that way. Sometimes we're not feeling good about ourselves. But if you really want to make yourself feel good about yourself, do something that you think they'll help you improve. If that's your image of you, I don't necessarily see it that way. See, you didn't agree with them. You say, I think you look perfectly great, perfectly wonderful, and try to change it up. And not only is criticism important, when you say constructive criticism, there's also a correct assessment of someone's talents. He goes, really, I like your energy when you're at work. You can follow that up whenever you have to say something to someone. Say, you know what? We could clean the bar. I mean, let's clean up the bar here. If you notice a coworker is not really good at doing that, I'm sometimes not the best at keeping everything tidy. I think I'm in there right in the median. My work area is never pristine, but then again, I try to not make it a slovenly appearance. So, but someone say, "Do you think I keep a clean work area?" And say, "Listen, I think you work really hard at maintaining a work area, but we always have everyone has a room to improve, and the great thing about you is you're always looking to improve." So that's great. So you follow up with something, if you want to say something to someone, you think you have to address and say, "Listen, you, I think you're doing a great job. I think you might be more successful if you do this, this, and then this. You might be unstoppable." So when you're working with people, it's important to think about building them up, why you're giving them some valuable input. That's it, valuable input. You don't have to be like, "You know what? People really don't like you." It's a horrible thing to say. It's a horrible thing to say, and it'd be a horrible thing if they people really don't like them. We always work with people for some reason to get a job. It could be a relative or someone or a close friend, and you just realize, well, I notice your friend that got you hired doesn't work around you that much. Matter of fact, I don't see them hang around with you that much either. So. And that's a little mean-spirited, isn't it? But just remember, it's good to keep your place of work as a safe place. And when I say safe place, it's a place where people don't come in and think, "Well, this person's always criticizing me and always telling me how horrible a job." Try to maybe sometimes instead of if you find yourself you were trying to give helpful information to someone a lot, start giving them some praise. And not empty praise either. Try to mix it up. You don't have to say they're awesome, you're wonderful. There's a whole lot of pronouns out there to use, not just pronouns, adjectives. Pronouns, and don't get mixed up with pronouns. But yeah, adjectives. It's a great use in adjectives. You're splendiferous, splendid, scrumptious. Scrumptious, so maybe a little sexist, but terrific. A lot of it. Fabulous. Fabulous. That's a good word. Fabulous may seem a little florid, but and then florid is a little florid. Well, I'm going to end this segment and I'll be right back in a moment. Well, I am back. And once again, it's only a couple minutes afterwards of that first segment. I'm starting to get into a routine recently that I notice is helping me in all facets of my life. And that's taking time out of my day not to watch the news, to watch something, a pastoral theme. If you go to YouTube, there's some channels you can go on YouTube where there's music playing in the background and you see like a lovely stream or a meadow or a beach or a mountain, almost anything out there. And that's really good. It's always a meditative experience when you're not even meditative, when you kind of zone out. And then because I didn't sleep well last night, take another nap. I know I sound like an older person, stuff like, it's always something. But I know I have to take a couple naps if I didn't sleep well last night. I have a total amount of sleep. I get home at 11:30. I may not go to sleep till 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I wake up at 6. And 5 hours just doesn't cut it for me. 5 hours, I need about 6.5 to feel right. And I think I'm almost zeroed in on 6, close to 6. Yeah, pretty much 6. And then the last, I do about half hour, 25 minutes or 30 minutes in a hammock, listen to a podcast, zoning out again. And then I do my podcast, go to the gym, and then go into work. And that really seems to do wonders for my attitude. Talk to my wife, maybe call my sister. And then tomorrow's my day off from my main job. I have to go and teach spin, which I don't really view as a job. I I get to do cardio and get paid for it, but I'll go and work out heavy. I'll get there maybe an hour early, do some lifting, and then teach my class, take care of some bills, run errands. I try to do it all before I get home and shower, and so I can do absolutely nothing. So I figure I need 4 hours of other things to do before I kick into my day off mode. And that's still a pretty goodly amount of day. I'll still have another maybe 3 hours by myself, knocking off, maybe doing another podcast. Who knows? The funny thing, on my day off, I don't like to take naps. I don't like to. Because then I can, on my day off, I can go, I can always go to, get ready and set my mental timer to go to bed around 10, 10:30. Friday night may be a little tough. Friday night, I'm up till, I think I'll be up at 11:30. You just can't turn that body clock off, especially after the time change. People bitch about the time change. They really do. And when you get to an age where you're not really sleeping straight, when you go to sleep and you don't get your 7, 8 hours, the time change doesn't really bother you. How late the sun is up, how dark it is in the morning. Because you get sleep where you can. And that's more of like a shift worker mentality. I'm always looking for the rest. I know I look better. I look better. I feel better. I'm better to deal with when I'm well rested. And my thoughts are better. I'm more at peace with my own thoughts when I'm well rested. I get a little groggy in the middle of the day when I do that. And that's why I think I have to drink a little coffee and then I take a little vitamin B12. I got to be careful with that because I get a little hyper on that stuff, but I do what I can. And it's all about managing my work and my time off. When I'm at work, it doesn't feel like work all the time, does it? Sometimes you're socializing, you're doing your work, and be able to do the job I have. I get to talk to people, generally nice way. Sometimes there's work to be done. Sometimes there's work to be done because if it's not a task, if it doesn't feel like a task, making a drink, pouring a beer, passing some information along, that it doesn't feel like a job to me. Which is great. And sometimes I convince myself, I'm getting paid for this, to do this. I enjoy it. It keeps me young, keeps me moving, keeps me fit, keeps me in touch. In touch. I don't necessarily feel as if I have the pulse on the current generation, but I have access to them. I do talk to them. And, I talk to younger people. That sounds creepy, doesn't it? I talk to younger people. No, I don't have a fear talking to them. I do not try to create a wall with them. I realize a lot of things I may say to someone from a different generation may seem a bit cornball. I may have a lot more in common with the people my age and older than me. Which, as time goes on, there's a lot less people older than me. I remember years ago, most of the people were older than me. And then someday I'll be looking around and I'll look around and I'll see I'm the oldest guy in the room. I saw a video of, I think it was a spring break in Fort Lauderdale. It was at the beach bar. It's called the beach bar. The beach tiki beach tiki in Lauderdale by the Sea, I think it It is, but it was one of those cam shots, and you see all these lovely young ladies in bikinis, and they're panning around, panning around, panning around. You see the other people, see some young guys, and then all of a sudden you see one guy who's in his late 40s talking to him, and wow. I go, that guy's in his late 40s. I would want to be down there too, or up there. And I know I can look at myself and say, wow, one of these things does not look like the other. That was a bit on Sesame Street. One of these things are not like the other. One of these things are just not right. And by all appearances, that person was the odd person out. I was going to say the odd man out. But it's not saying he's odd. Maybe he fits in perfectly. Maybe he's having a good time. I mean, you have to really wade through when you're in a mixed crowd, talking to people, socializing. There's a delicate dance there. You know, yeah, those young girls look very pretty. Very, I think the word you would hear in literature would be comely, comely, which means very attractive and approachable. So you have these young women, and there's an older guy with his older body. And yes, then this could be, and it could be a correct assessment. There may be a couple of young girls that don't have a problem talking to an older guy. They talk about it all on Facebook, right? On Facebook, not Facebook, on TikTok or Instagram, saying, I want an older man. I want an older man. They don't want an older man. A younger girl does not want an older, in most cases, right? They want somebody that's going to be financially stable, you know, that has the resources to better their situation. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for a broke ass 20-year-old or 22-year-old. They may eventually be looking for a broke ass 22-year-old, and they may end up being married to or impregnated by one. But some the ones that by and large, when someone says, oh, I like older people, they're doing it to be nice. That's something you say to people to be nice, and nothing wrong with it. I don't have a problem with people being nice. I don't have a problem with anybody giving compliments that are empty compliments. Empty compliments are better than mean-spirited comments. And yet they are. But I mean, there's a lot of older guys driving around in Corvettes or let's say Bentleys, Maseratis. And for some reason they think, wow, they take to heart. They say, young women find me attractive. They do to a point. They find the objects you surround yourself with attractive. The car, the clothes, the money. Yes. That is under. So it'd be really nice if you really viewed, you took a long view and say, listen, this is what I appreciate. You always see these, they're not always, but in every movie or story, someone will say, you know, I know why she's with me. She's with me because of my money, the kind of lifestyle I can provide her, and things like that. I mean, the Eagles wrote a song, You Can't Hide These Lion Eyes, is all about a young, beautiful woman who marries an old man, an old rich man. Hugh Hefner made a whole career of surrounding himself until he would dotardly, dotardly, walking around in a smoking jacket. Now, walking around in a smoking jacket in the 1960s was cool. But wearing a red smoking jacket when you're 82 years old and walking around with some 20-something year olds on there just makes you look so much older. So much older. Try being a little overweight and surround yourself with very thin people and see what that looks like. Or having a bunch of healthy salads with a 3-stack cheeseburger with melted cheese, bacon, onion, and all the accoutrements that go on that. And that 3-stack cheeseburger really looks different. Actually, in that case, the 3-stack cheeseburger really looks good, but not necessarily that. So I'm not telling people how to live. If you're going to want what you want, if you know you need to be on a diet sometimes, you're overweight, blah, 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 blah. But you know, you're supposed to eat vegetables, eat less carbs, eat something healthy, stay away from dessert. But the salad doesn't look that good. The cheeseburger does. Here I'm mixing metaphor. Cheeseburger looks good. The steak. The chocolate pudding with whipped cream. All that looks wonderful. And it tastes delicious. But in the long run, it's going to kill you. You know, it would be a lot easier if you naturally craved the things that were good for you. If you naturally craved, you know, raw vegetables, lean meat, soy milk, whatever makes you healthy, fruits. And you just crave those all the time. So, I can't get over eating kale and squash. That's what I want. It's just not one of those things. But, you know, they do movies about that too, don't they? That movie Shallow Hal, where he just looks at the, where Jack Black, the main character, gets hypnotized by Tony Robbins to look in the inner beauty of the women he's with. He ends up finding a great woman who happens to be 400 pounds, but he doesn't see her that way, because that's the best person for him. And I think I can, when I'm looking at people, I can see I'm very attractive people, i.e. women, young, beautiful, yes. And I can see them as wonderful people too. Wonderful people, wonderful, good people. But I also see very attractive people my age, very attractive women. I look and I see their beauty, see their qualities, and I know that's good for me. I mean, actually, there's only one woman that's good for me now, and shall be. I'm 60 years old. I don't think I'm going to be doing those ever again. You know, going to the buffet. That's what I used to call the bars went on the weekends when I was out with friends. We're going out to the buffet. What buffet? Now, this is years ago. It's a buffet. It's happy hour. We're going to happy hour. That's a buffet. There's tons to choose from. And you go, oh, I get it. It's you with your fucking metaphors. Yep, me with my metaphors. So try to mix it up. Try to do the thing that's right for you, and try to live a great life. I know it was all about all scattered around today, but, you know, I was just feeling that today. Have a great day. I'll be back. It's fine to